I'd like now to introduce Justin Crabtree, Miles Cooper, and Matt Gibbons. They are the actors, directors, performers, and collaborators, I guess, in Shakespeare Abridged, which is a performance at the College of Santa Fe's Greer Garson Theater that's coming up this weekend, Friday and Saturday night at 8 o'clock, and then Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, and the same thing again the following weekend. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Great to have you. Now, this is Shakespeare Abridged, is the abridged name of basically a two-hour, what would you call it, compilation of all of Shakespeare's works?
Yeah, basically it's three guys who are the Reduced Shakespeare Company who put on all of Shakespeare's plays, or at least attempt to, in 2 hours.
Okay, so we're not doing sonnets.
Right. Well, we do cover the sonnets, but, you know, we'll save that for
very
the first
briefly
surprise.
Do we cover the sonnets.
Yeah.
Now, who did the actual abridging?
The original cast were three people named Adam, Daniel, and Jess, whose last names have left me. But what they've done is that since then they've created a series of plays. They've created the Reduced Shakespeare Abridged. They've also done the Bible Abridged, World History Abridged. They're basically a company that has created funny ways of putting lots of material into a short amount of time and have the comedy ensue from that. And so it's kind of like the expectation is that we're going to, you know, possibly mess this all up. And that's, you know, the impulse to want to come see it, because how can these guys do it? You know what I mean?
Their general thing is every show that they put on, they take on these things that is ridiculous for a small group of people to put on. And they put it on, they basically take out all the minor characters and all the stuff that doesn't really matter and just keep in the sex and the violence into every...
Yeah.
That's in Shakespeare, the movies,
But you've not even got any women.
No. He's our women. Miles is our...
Yeah, I play all the women.
Despite the little beard.
Despite the little beard, yes. That's the comedy behind it a little bit, I think.
We have some ugly wigs. His Juliet kind of looks a little like Bon Jovi. Decided.
A little scary.
Yeah.
So it sounds like great fun. I mean, if you're doing all of Shakespeare, you've got tragedy and comedy.
Yep.
Histories.
Right.
All of them.
Yeah. We cover it all in some capacity or another.
And do they mix together?
Yes. Yeah, actually. Yeah. There are a couple of spots in the plays where we've really done a very, very condensed version, like the comedies and the histories we kind of cover in a big lump.
Yeah, the one thing that they bring up is the comedies. Shakespeare, as a writer, he takes and borrows different plot devices from different theatrical traditions, and, I mean, from everything. But what you notice is that they're basically three or four of the same gimmicks just done over and over again in different combinations. And so the whole thing is, you know, why did Shakespeare write 16 comedies when he could have written one comedy using all the plot devices? And so we...
it's sort of like the same question, why are there so many sitcoms on TV?
Exactly.
That are all the same?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's essentially the same thing. So we just... They get condensed into one story and they get told, and it's really funny.
Yeah, the writing, the script is actually pretty genius.
What are some of the devices that Shakespeare uses that you recognize from, for example, one comedy to another?
One of the biggest things is the using sets of identical twins and the confusion that's involved in that. Like within our comedy section, I think there's three sets of identical twins. Mm-hmm. Two, you know, brothers and sisters. And
yes, yeah. That and the class systems always tend to be the same. There's always the masters, there's always the servants, there's always the lovers. You know, and that's also something that they borrowed from the Commedia dell'arte tradition, where they have, you know, a lot of the codified different characters, like the, you know, the doctor and the master and all that. And so that tends to be very, very common in his comedies, is just all the different classes and how they mix and conflict with each other, and the story of the lovers and how they fall apart and come back together. And, you know, it's just the same story told, and how can you tell it a different way? You know?
Class conflict, love conflict.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fighting, sword fighting.
Political power.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fight scene.
Yeah.
Nothing changed much.
No. Yeah.
Now we're gonna have you guys perform a little piece of it. I've noticed that you're doing that you use contemporary genres, not just Elizabethan English.
Yes, yeah, we use the Othello as a rap.
Yeah.
That's how we perform Othello, because we're white and we can't really do it.
Yeah. Othello calls for a black person. We all kind of racially
challenged. In the 16th century, that's what actually Moore referred to was a person of the African descent.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so that part's a wrap. What about some of the other parts of the play?
We turn all the tragedies, we lump them into a football game.
No, the histories.
Or the histories, not tragedies, sorry.
Yeah.
The histories are a football game. Tragedies we tend to do as plays themselves.
We have a cooking show in there. We turn a show into a cooking show.
And then we save Hamlet for the last. Hamlet's the entire second act. And that's because Hamlet is, you know, one of the greatest plays ever written.
Yeah, we perform Hamlet, and then at the end we do it faster, and then we do it even faster after that, and then we do it backwards.
It's a three-ring circus. The second act is a three-ring circus.
Yeah.
Now, do you do any of it in actually Elizabethan English, or you know, any real lines from Shakespeare?
Oh, yes.
A lot of lines are taken straight from the text of, you know, Romeo and Juliet. I say, but soft what light through yonder window breaks. You know, I actually say that. He says, to be or not to be as Hamlet.
Yeah. They basically just kind of picked and choose where what was important and left all the superfluous extra plot, all the extra plot stories out of it. And they just basically focused on the lead characters. And as we'll see, that's kind of where the comedy comes from, is just how these guys just choose that these things are important, but these other things are superfluous. And especially with the language, especially, you know, we all have the different dynamics as the characters. And in Miles' character, he's really like the kind of buffoon of the group. He's coming in, and he just wants to make a playground. Or at least I'll let Miles talk about it. But we all have different relationships in terms of the inner characterization that really play off really well as well.
Yeah, the character I play, Adam's character, he plays all the women in all the Shakespeare plays, and he's a very pretentious actor, and he just wants the spotlight to be on him, and he kind of pushes Daniel and Jess out of the way so he could be in the spotlight for everything, and he wears all these ridiculous wigs and sings a lot. And
it's like a big playground, the stages.
Yeah, right.
Miles.
So this is all great fun. It's happening at the College of Santa Fe this weekend and next weekend, Friday and Saturday at 8 o'clock, Sunday at 2 in the afternoon, Greer Garson Theater. Would you like to perform a little piece of Shakespeare Abridged?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would love to.
Sure. Yeah.
All right, so this is the Othello rap.
Yeah. And after how it leads into is we've started to do Othello as the cast, and then we've all realized that we have a major problem that we are none of us three are of African descent, and so it's going to be a little bit difficult for us to perform.
As the play is written, was this a rap, or did you three make it a rap?
No, it was a rap.
Okay.
It's a rap. We kind of just threw in our beats and our timing and our own choreography and stuff like that, and made it kind of a throwback to the 80s Beastie Boys.
Right. Yeah. Now, disclaimer, the whole, ladies and gentlemen out in Radioland, the whole play is not like this. This is just one part of it.
Yeah, this is just one interpretation of one play.
This is the Othello rap with Justin Crabtree, Miles Cooper, and Matt Gibbons. Go for it.
All right.
Here we go.
Here's a story of a brother by the name of Othello. You know he liked white women and he liked green jello.
And a punk named Iago who made himself a menace cause he didn't like Othello,
the Moor of Venice. Now Othello got married to a chick named Desdemona.
Yeah, he took off for the wars and he left her alone.
He was a mona.
A groaner.
He left her alone. He didn't write a letter and he didn't telephone her. Desdemona, she was faithful, she was chastity tight. She was the daughter of a duke.
Yeah, she was totally white. But Iago loved Desi like Adonis loved Venus.
But Desi loved Othello.
Cause he had a big sword.
He said, I'm gonna shaft the mole.
How you gonna do it? Tell us.
I know his tragic flaws that he's too damn jealous. I need a dupe, I need a dope, I need a kind of a schmo.
So we found a chump sucker by the name of Cassio.
And he punts on him Desdemona's handkerchief.
And Othello gets to wonder just maybe if, while he been out fighting, commanded an army.
Are Desi and Cass playing hide the salami? Salami.
So we go back home and stick a pillow in her face.
He kills her and soliloquizes bad as disgrace.
But there's Amelia at the door, who in men act for.
Who say you big dumb? I mean, she weren't no whore. She was pure. She was clean. She was virginal, too.
So why'd you have to go and make a face turn blue?
It's true.
It's you. Now what you gonna do?
And Othello say,
yo, this is getting pretty scary.
So he pulled out his blade and committed Harry Carey.
Iago got caught, but a proper cop to play.
Loaded up his bags.
And moved to Beverly
Hills.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the Othello rap from Shakespeare Abridged. And you can see it, too. I am totally going to this play.
Good.
So, College of Santa Fe, a thing of the past, a thing of the future. The three of you, well, let's see, two out of three of you, Miles and Matt, are students there. And Justin, you are a prospective student.
Yes, with fingers crossed.
Should the institution actually exist a few months from now?
Yeah.
What's happening in your minds, the three of you as students and perhaps future students?
Well, where we're at now is, I think the general consensus, I don't want to speak for everyone, but I think the general consensus of the people in Santa Fe is that they all realize how important and significant the College of Santa Fe is, and especially, you know, the arts in this area. And so really, you know, one of our intentions with this show is to really show Santa Fe exactly, you know, how alive College of Santa Fe still is, and that it's not a thing of the past. We really wanted to put this show out there for free for the public so that, you know, we can really continue to draw interest and see that support. And so, you know, as well as the rest of the people in the higher up positions can also see the support and see that it is still alive, it is still kicking, and that this is something that is very necessary.
Now, two of you, Justin and Matt, were at a performing arts conservatory in California?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. It was called the Pacific Conservatory of Performing Arts. It's located in Santa Maria, California, just about right in the middle of California,
Central Coast,
the Central Coast. It's a two-year theater conservatory that basically just dives you into theater for 2 years solid. You're going to classes 9 to 5, doing acting classes.
Eat, sleep, and breathe it.
Yeah. At night, you're going to rehearsals for the play. You go to sleep. You wake up. You do the same thing 6 days a week with having one day off.
And so that's a highly intensive way of life. Why did you did you finish it, or what happened?
We both graduated last
06.
'08 of May.
Yeah.
And then we just I took a semester off to come before I came here, and then it just happened that he was looking for a place to move, and Santa Fe he felt like was a really great place, and I was going, so we headed over here.
Yeah.
So after being in a very intensive theater performing arts conservatory, what drew you to, of all the possible places you could go, to the College of Santa Fe?
They came and auditioned at our school. I auditioned. I looked up the school. I thought it was a really great school. I love the private aspect of it, especially at the time. You know, being able to have less students, and that's what it is. Our class had 24 kids in it for the 2 years. You know, so I like having that small amount of kids so we can have some more one-on-one. I felt that I was going to get that at the College of Santa Fe, and I did.
Yeah. The teacher-student ratio is very, very amazing, especially in the musical theater program. And not just that, but the amount of support that the staff has for their kids, it's really, they really open up the doors for the opportunities for kids to put things on themselves and to really take control of their own training. Because, you know, that I've always been a fond believer of that it's not really the program itself, it's really what you put into it. And so I think this whole situation is really lending the opportunity to everyone who will be returning, that just the opportunity to create what they want to create and to expand the places they've wanted to expand in their performing pursuits.
You know, I have on more than one occasion been approached by people from the College of Santa Fe, various departments, and including theater, who said, oh, you know, could you put us on the radio? And my first thought is always, oh, no, student productions.
Right.
Help. And they're always good. I mean, this is the thing that my sort of cringe response has been modified away, because they really do an incredible work there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's of a level that is, you know, worthy of going out into the world and actually doing things with it. Miles, you are... I guess you just finished your junior year.
Yes.
And are hoping not to have the rug pulled out from under your feet.
Right. Yes. This school has been a huge, great experience. And like Justin was saying about the one-on-one time you get with your professors over at the College of Santa Fe, it's definitely helped me out more than like if I went to UT or a big college where, you know, there's 500 students in the theater program and I would maybe get one play in that. And at the College of Santa Fe for the 3 years, I've been in about 16 productions, and I'm a firm believer in that classes can help with your acting, but I think it's the experience that you go through in the plays that you do that make you a better actor.
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, a lot of times what you'll find when you go to a musical theater program is that there's a big staff of resident artists that do the teaching, and then the students are the students. And a lot of times what happens is the students, then they get kind of second-choice casting. They're kind of, you know, supporting or ensemble roles. And what I think is really important, especially in a program, is that we're trying to build ourselves up and work ourselves up so that we can be the leads on Broadway or whatever your goals are. And so there's so much more to it. It's not just, you know, taking those acting classes and getting the technique down and all that stuff. It's really getting that practice of being able to keep up the energy of how can you hold a lead role throughout a whole play. Because that's a whole nother aspect in itself, is how do you keep that energy balanced and how do you keep it floating so that it doesn't drop out by the end of the show. And College of Santa Fe, that just the performance opportunities they give to people in the wide gamut.
Right.
As well as the technical training that they offer the actors as well, which I feel is important. It's just so, so important to keep it here.
Now, one of the, speaking of keeping it here, let's say you have a flourishing acting program, theater program, and so on, in Santa Fe, do people stay? I mean, are your goals to go to New York and L.A.? Or is there any thought of actually revitalizing the New Mexico film and theater scene?
Well, I know for me, Matt was kind of explaining how we ended up here in Santa Fe. Before, I was intending on moving to Portland, Oregon. And this was just right before Matt and his dad were coming out here to Santa Fe. And it just so happened that things kept falling through. You know, the roads were blocked because of the heavy snows up in the Northwest. And, you know, just the person we were going to move with just dropped through. And so we were just like, what are we going to do? And then, you know, we found out they're coming to Santa Fe with the U-Haul. So we're like, let's just go to Santa Fe. And then in
this is how career decisions get made.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The road is blocked and it's snowing.
Yeah, go with the flow. Because originally what we found in hindsight after coming back is that Portland, Oregon, it has a theater scene that's set up. In other words, I would be going to Portland to go and audition for the shows and to go and just, you know, be in the scene that's already set up.
Right.
Now, here in Santa Fe, it feels like, you know, I've always used the analogy that the wheel's turning, but it could be going faster.
And so you would actually consider staying here after graduation from College of Santa Fe?
Yeah, because I feel like when you enter into a space, especially like this, because there is such art flourishing here, but in terms of the performing arts, it's a little sporadic, and it's such a great place for it. And I believe that where it is now, you know, how it's in its infant form, that it does allow people who are artists to come in here and really create it and create the scene how they want it, you know, or at least how it will best suit this area and this community.
Justin Crabtree, Miles Cooper, and Matt Gibbons have, they're the actors, how do I say it, actors, directors, and basically collaborators. They're making this whole thing happen. It's called Shakespeare Abridged. It's at the College of Santa Fe Greer Garson Theater this Friday and Saturday at 8 in the evening and Sunday at 2 in the afternoon, and the same thing the following weekend, July 24th and 25th, and then Sunday the 26th. I want to thank you all three so much for being here.
Thank
I know
you.
the city of Santa Fe, of course, has some decisions to make, and mm-hmm. Laureate, the group that is basically very interested in yeah. letting the College of Santa Fe continue, is mm-hmm. doing its work, and we will update people as things progress.
Yeah. Great, great.
Stay hopeful. Yeah. That's, I think, the best thing is just be positive about the school opening, see the school opening. You know, if we see it as closed, it's just putting negative energy into it. Put positive energy into CSF.
You know,
that's what we're doing here. That was one of the big things is, you know, why I really wanted to do it this summer was to show that energy that's still alive.
And if people would like more information, is there a phone number they can call?
Yes. To contact us, you call 214-663-7829.
And watch for an article, I guess, in today's Santa Fe Reporter.
Yes.
Well, thanks to all three of you for being with us, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you
so
much.
Thank you.